Give me the president's office, please. Mr. Moyer. This meeting in his office.
Mr. Cameron.
Vicki is present there. You want me to call him?
Si, senor.
Thank you.
Just a moment.
You at lunch today, and have Vaughn there call him and tell him I want him to come, and not lunch, 2:45.
All right, sir.
At a meeting, and we're going to have, the State Department never comes up with anything, but Tom Mann is coming in with a report which in effect favors Embed and says we ought to let him go and let him clean it up. Now, Tom is, I have more confidence in Tom's judgment than anybody I have around me. And I want to listen to it very carefully. My own judgment is that Embed will never have a following and will never have mass support. But that's the way they've pictured Johnson through the years. And that wasn't true last November.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Kennedys are more dramatic, and I know that we might get somebody. But it doesn't look like to me Guzman has got anything except liberals behind him. I don't think he's got much character, much gut. I do think Embed has revived him a good deal. Now, Vaughn apparently has the same viewpoint, that ought to let him go and let him fight it out. Mansfield and Fulbright and them very critical, and Congress is going to be very critical, although I think people are 90% behind us now, not behind New York Times and the liberals. All we got to be sure of, though, is we're right. Now, Abe is of the opinion that we got only to the day and we ought to settle this thing and we ought to put Guzman and non-communist in and then try to go from there. Between Abe and Tom, as of the moment, I would favor Abe. I have not heard Tom's side of it, though. But I have more confidence of Tom in Latin America than do Abe, and I don't believe that Tom is the reactionary and the hater.
No.
That they say he is. I think they've pictured him just like they picture you as a young, impractical fellow, or that you were a political beneficiary when you became deputy director of the Peace Corps. I think they're just as unjust to him as they were to you for a day or two there. So I think we've got to protect people like that. Tom doesn't want this service. He wants to get out. But the first days around here, they had you as a homosexual. So if we don't stand up to them, well, we don't get them. But we've got to be sure they're right. And so I want you to watch it as a judge and not as an advocate, both sides, so we know. Now, I think David Rusk is a wonderful man, got good judgment, but I don't think that George Ball really wants him to settle anything. And I'm afraid that George Ball is very sympathetic to Tom. And my own judgment is that there'll be more of a mass behind the liberal government, Guzman, than there ever would behind Embed. And I think that's the line that I would take until I hear both of them. Well, let's see here. Here's from Bundy Vance, Benny Palmer. Loyalists have taken radio station San Domingo. We believe all our interests will be greatly advanced by prompt repair of station. It's returned to air under OAS auspices. Bennett and Vance are pressing Embed soonest for his agreement, playing high card that radio will not run unless we fix it. Then Bennett and Bundy will press Mora for interim OAS sponsorship. Ron and Palmer mobilizing all assets to repair transmitter soonest. Can you press OAS Washington in the most expeditious way to bolster Mora in this concern? Nothing could do more to move us forward here than a strong radio that tells truth and preaches peace and national concord. If we cannot fit this much under OAS mandate, we and they deserve to suffer UN interference and all other wolves. This project highly sensitive because Embert has not agreed. Rebels would raise hell if they knew about it. Embert needs time to clear area of snipers, and we need time to clear booby traps when he agrees. So telephone talk on this must be careful. Signed, Bennett. That's from Bundy, Vance, Bennett, and Palmer. Now, I would agree. I don't think OAS worth a damn, but I would agree on that. So tell Ball right now that I just got this. Come get it off my desk. It's a flash that came in 1617. Tell him to quit putting the time. I can't figure that out. What is 1617?
You got me. It's because they use some strange method of timing. I don't know. I'll find out, though. I told them to put the exact time in our time, and I figured I'll go back to them on that. Do you want to, should Martin be at this meeting at 2:45? He's back. I have not talked to him.
I don't believe so. I believe you can talk to him and get his views quickly and in detail, but I don't want to have a big general argument, and I don't think it Rusk. I tell you, I'd ask, they won't want anybody there that doesn't participate, but just, and I'm afraid Martin will put it in his article.
Mm-hmm.
I think we better watch that, and we better tell him we sure don't want him publishing anything. I wouldn't have ever let him go if I'd known he's going to publish something.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think it's going to look bad and tell him there's a lot of criticism coming to me already to say that I've got a private author down there doing this, and I don't want to knock him out of it. We've got to be awful careful what he says.
All right.
We've got to clear it. Call Ball. Tell whoever that is talking, shut up. Tell Ball to get this message right quick and act on it with OAS and whatever we need. Tell him it's all right with me. And check it out with Abe, too.
All right,
I'm
with him.
We'll put Abe on. Let me ask
just a minute.
The loyalists have taken the radio station.
Yes, sir.
Bundy and Vance and Bennett and Palmer think that OAS ought to take it over.
I was just writing a note about that. I think we should not authorize that today because I think the fact that the loyalists have that is a pressure point on the rebels. And until we get complete agreement with the rebels, I think we just ought to mark time then, get all ready to fix that, but don't do anything and don't turn it over to OAS or do anything to arrange for that. That'd be my judgment, sir.
All right. Call Bundy and tell him that the number of the message, don't refer to it, but just say on this number.
Cy is on the other phone.
Well, tell Cy that. That's our reaction. And,
yes, sir.
We don't veto it. If they still insist, tell him to come back to us immediately before our 2:45 meeting.
Yes, sir.
But tell him that is our judgment and take that into consideration.
Yes.
We don't want to be vetoing what they do. Now, Hoover says that he has never been asked to clear these people, that he has no names, and that you told him this morning that you want him to do it and you'd get him over, but he has not received them. And if he says that y'all are going to be raising hell with him at 4 o'clock, and that if it takes you 4 hours to get something from the White House, that he's going to take him some time.
Sir, Deke...
He says he is ready to go immediately.
Sir, Deke has them, and he had them within 15 minutes after I talked.
Did he tell you you had them?
No, I gave them to him. I had a boy here read them to him over the phone.
Did you hear him read them?
I was right out the door here. I was on 6 or 7 other calls.
Well, just check it. I know you overworked, and I know you're talking a lot, but just find out if you got them, because Hoover called me and didn't have them, and that we need some coordination. Tell Deke to tell him if he needs to.
Yes, sir.
I just spent 20 minutes on the phone with him, in which he says that I want to check your men out, but I can't do it because I don't have them, and they told me they were coming from the White House early this morning when Fortas talked to me.
Well, hell, the fellow was on the other line giving them to Deke. I'll take care of it right away. Yes, sir.